You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication.
Oh,
here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and
multi-sector. I hurt my back, so I'm a little bit on drugs today. So
hey, you know, you seem a little bit nicer today. So,
hey, I'm nice all the time.
Maybe it helps.
What are you talking about? Wow, that was savage.
Yes, savage. Dude, don't you remember that podcast episode where you introduced me to teen speak? Savage.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, it was very helpful. My middle school daughters are very proud of that savage thing.
Yeah. So. Is it now a part of your regular communique?
It is definitely around the house. Okay. So around the house, I'll throw out a savage now and then because that's how the kids, you know, I like to be contextual. Yes. That's part of being missional.
Of course.
I'm all about being using the cool middle school slang because I'm missional.
Yes. So. While you're Snapchatting yourself with a puppy face, right?
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, but I do like the face. You know, no, I think like half the people don't know what Snapchat with the puppy face even means. I got a puppy face, but not that. All right. Anyway.
Yeah. So today, before we get into the question from Karen Browning, I'd love to just read a review. And this one is from God Catcher. All right. So
God Catcher. What does that mean?
Well, let's put our theological.
Exactly. Let's critique that.
Yeah. But God Catcher, you gave us a 5-star review. You are a blessing for the kingdom. And if you send me an
email. Now, is he talking about you or is he talking about me?
He's talking about all of us, the podcast. Todd.
I forgot Todd does that too. Okay.
Yeah. So if you send me email, daniel@newchurches.com, we'll be sure to get you a New Churches Moleskine notebook and pen. But here's the review. How good is God to us? Because you are a blessing. You really do something extraordinary and helpful for church planners, pastors, and for the kingdoms. Keep up the great work and you will receive more from heaven. So it's
and it looks like he's about to receive more from us.
So a generous review. Thanks again for sending that in. And if you have not yet reviewed us on iTunes, be sure to do that because we do occasionally read them out and send swag. But let's get into today's question from Karen Browning.
Hi, Daniel. It's Karen Browning from Seymour, Indiana, and I have been binge listening to the podcast, and I'm now in the 70s, and a question has occurred to me. What would a timeline for putting together a core team and a launch team look like for a bivocational church plant? I was thinking since a bivocational minister is self-supported that you would look at a longer time commitment. Or should you wait to gather these people later on in your timeline? Thank you for all you do. I really appreciate you, and I'm learning so much.
Awesome. So a timeline for putting together a core team for a Bible church plant. Karen and I were talking about this over Twitter. She sent a message over to me, and I was like, you know what? Because she's about in the 70s, and we're in the 100, I think this is episode 145, and or around there, and she was like, are there any podcasts that I've not yet listened to that address this? And to be honest, I didn't think we've ever addressed a bivocational timeline.
So. But just out of interest, did you warn her about podcast episode 100? I think that's fair that you should do that to people.
I didn't want to detract her from continuing.
I think you have not served our audience well if you don't warn them.
But if she's listened all the way up to 70, I think she'll appreciate 100. It was all the brand new listeners that joined in at 100 that we need to apologize to. Everyone else, it's all fun and games. So,
yeah, the other ones were like, "What in the world did I just listen to?" So, all right. So our question is the longevity of core group development. Mm-hmm. In and around with a bivocational pastor. Well, here's one of the things I would say, just really up front. I think you have to sort of make a decision about the kind of church you're going to plant. And a lot of bivocational church planting is not so much driven by the methodology that undergirds what we just said. In other words, a launch mechanism, how do I put it? So basically, you know, back in the day, mm-hmm. you know, before Bob Logan messed us all up, Bob Logan's a guy who did a thing called Church Planting Toolkit, and he talked about, you know, kind of launch larger. So before that, what what everybody did is they just started reaching a neighbor and reaching three neighbors and reaching seven neighbors and then start having a, you know, kind of a mission chapel feel and then kind of growing into eventually a church. So what I would say is, in a sense, it kind of undermines, what was her name?
Karen.
Okay. In a sense, it undermines a little bit of Karen's question because I'm not sure that I would do a launch team strategy, a large launch strategy, if I were a bivocational pastor. Mm-hmm. Now, so, you know, how long do you like to build a core team? In other words, I mean, I would say when I start getting to 15, 20 people, I'd start maybe worshiping together on Sunday morning. Now, unless you have a plan that you're using a large launch plan, which at that point, I still think that you need between 3 and 9 months. If you're going to tell people we're going to go public, I think you need at least 3 months to get your ducks in a row and get everything planned. And if you go longer than 9 months, people sort of lose the patience and waiting for the church to begin. They actually begin to drop out. So I found that once you start getting like a year building core group development for a year, people like, and you keep talking about being a launch, they're like, oh, there's no launch. I'm kind of giving up. So if you're going to do a launch, which is harder when you're bivocational because it takes a lot of attention and strategizing, then I'd say I'd still stick with 3 to 9 months. However, most bivocational pastors I know sort of just build phase by phase rather than having a large launch. So It's, you know, I've got a small group, we've got a little larger small group, then it's a medium sized group. We start having church, we kind of go from there.
Mm-hmm. And that's awesome because I love how you brought in Bob Logan and you brought in just kind of that evolution of going from the core team to launch large. And I mean, that's a lot of times you read about church planting and starting new churches, and there's a lot of that launch large methodology. But I think she's also curious about the whole idea of a core team as well. So putting launching large to the side.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I mean, what kind of timeline would you give? And part of it is metrics as well. I mean, they're bivocational, so they don't necessarily have the countdown timer of a year, 2 years, 3 years to their funding, till they need to be self-sufficient. But what else would you see? So let's say you are talking to a bivocational church planter today and they want to plant in 9 to 12 months. What kind of timeline would you give them?
All right. So a bivocational planter today, they want to plant in how many months? In,
let's say 9 to 12 months.
Okay. All right. So I mean, I guess the question is, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, as soon as you start, you know, reaching people, engaging people, again, it's still built on the idea that you're going to have this big shindig. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not sure that I'd have a big grand opening, bring your friends shindig in the same way I would. But okay. So because I would, so core group. Okay. I think you need to be having worship within the latest a year by the time you started gathering people to say you're going to begin to have worship. Mm-hmm. I think that's true regardless of whether you are doing a large launch or a small launch, but a core group becomes a congregation at some point or else people start bailing out of the core group. So my final answer, you keep trying to change my answer, but I'm not going to let you.
Your final answer. And is this your final answer?
This is your final answer, is that 3 to 9 months is a good time. And whatever at that point you are, I think, you know, much longer than 9 months, you know, start pushing a year, I think you need to start having worship, gather together, weekend worship, and start acting, functioning like a church. If you're bivocational, you know, of course, the other thing is where, you know, what number? It's really hard to talk about a number because are you in Boston? Because that's a whole different feel than if you're in Birmingham, Alabama. So I'm more like, okay, do it, get it going, you know, figure 3, 6, 9 months. Don't push beyond a year, but where you are at that point, start going public in worship, start inviting people to worship. If it's a launch, great. It's harder when you're bivocational, but whatever it is, start having it together and start functioning and acting like a New Testament church.
Yeah, this is a fascinating question because you're right about the idea of, okay, if you're doing a launch large approach, you're going to this big public date, get a lot of momentum, break a lot of these barriers. And I mean, that's kind of what you're moving towards. But if you're bivocational, would you, you know, you said there's this idea of this 3 to 9 months, this time frame, but would you even encourage them? Let's say the bivocational planter had 12 people. Would you encourage them maybe to just start once they have 12 people or once they have 15 people and just start worshiping together because they don't have those financial constraints? Or would you encourage them, oh, you know what, wait until you have maybe 12, 15, 20 people as a core team, do the whole core team development with them and then go public?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it really boils down to what Go Public is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think all, you know, Larry Lewis was a church planner a long time ago, and he wrote a book called The Church Planner's Handbook. And what he talked about is the faithful four. He said, once you got faithful four families, start worshiping together.
Okay.
But Bob Logan took, I mean, not directly from that, but that's the way people did it back in the day. What Bob Logan did is said, yeah, get your faithful four, you know, get 20 to 30 people in a core, but then really blow it out of the water by having this big grand opening, you know, get your balloons dropping from the ceiling. Okay, I'm making that up. But anyway.
Which I'm sure some people did.
I'm sure there have been a church plant that has done that without my approval, but not that they need it. But I think all those things are right on and helpful. I'm just thinking for a lot of bivocational planners, they get the faithful four, they start having worship, they get the faithful six and the 10, and that's how you grow the church.
Yeah. Well, I hope that was helpful, Karen. Be sure to continue binge listening, because they're especially to episode 100. And
yes, you don't want to miss episode 100, I assure you.
Because I don't know who still plays Pokemon Go, but it was relevant at the time.
Yeah, it's Pokemon Go. He's like, man, that was like Pokemon, the fastest.
It's Pokemon Gone now.
Pokemon Gone. That's true. That's so true.
All right. Well, thanks again for listening in. Be sure to submit your questions at newchurches.com. Hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail, or on your mobile device, you can go to speakpipe.com/newchurches. And we love it when you send questions in. So we'll catch you next time.